We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. I will read those verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. As always, it's wonderful to open it up every Sunday and just learn the wonderful truths that you've given us in your word. And may these words encourage us as believers as we continue to live here on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this morning is called The Pattern to Follow. Years ago, I purchased a book called Canoe Craft. Did you ever have that? And it was published by Harris Smith. I really wanted to make a cedar strip canoe. And the book has patterns to make different kinds of canoes, such as there's one called the Chestnut Prospector and the Peterborough Canoe, but I never pursued the dream. I still have the book. It's in my basement. Whether I ever make one again, I don't know, but there's somebody in this room who's much more ambitious than I ever was, and that's Mark. He's made two canoes. He made a cedar strip, and then he made a plywood. Was it a canoe or a kayak? Yeah, it's a canoe. But when Mark made those canoes, he followed a pattern, right? And our text this morning in Hebrews 11 is, it's a record of the faith of different Old Testament saints, the whole chapter. Verse 1 of the chapter says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." These men and women in chapter 11, they had faith. They had real faith in the promises of God. It wasn't a wishy-washy faith. They didn't say, "Yeah, I have faith," without really defining what they had faith in. It was real faith in the promises of God. And this real faith was proof that those promises that God had made to them were real, even though they had never seen them. Isn't that true for us as believers? We have real faith in Jesus Christ, and we know by faith in him that God has forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, and future, and he has promised us eternal life in his kingdom. So many other religions are trying to earn their way to eternal life, but their faith has no substance. You cannot have faith in yourself to get to heaven. They never know for sure if they have done enough good things to be accepted to get to heaven. So as we consider these verses, looking at Abraham in chapter 11, we're told three things that Abraham did by faith. The first, and these three things are to be a pattern that we as believers are to follow. The first of all, Abraham is a pattern to us by obeying the call of God. Secondly, Abraham is a pattern to us in the way he lived. And thirdly, Abraham is a pattern to us in the home he looked for. So let's first consider the first thing. My first point this morning is Abraham obeyed the call of God. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham was 75 years old. He was living in Haran at the time that God called him. He was married to Sarah. I'm sure they had been married for a long time. But they didn't have any children at the time, as we know. And I'm sure they would have been very settled in their life. 75 years old, he's well on in years. But Joshua 24:2 tells us that the father of Abraham, he served other gods. I'll read that, Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nachor, they served other gods. Abraham was living with his father before God called him. And he probably would have taken part with his father in serving other gods, serving idols maybe, carved images or something like that. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 115 that idols cannot help us. I'll just read Psalm 115, 4-8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. So Abraham was living this probably predictable and comfortable life. And then right out of the blue, God calls him. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Isn't that our experience as believers? We've been called by God to leave our comfortable life and follow him. Remember when Jesus was transfigured on the mount in the presence of John and James and Peter? And as Jesus appeared to the men as white as the light and his face shone like the sun, he spoke to Moses and Elias. Then God spoke out of a bright cloud from above. Matthew 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God tells us to hear Jesus Christ when he calls. Jesus spent 3 years calling people to believe in him, to turn to him. Right after he was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? Well, we read in Mark 1:14, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. When each one of us turned to Jesus Christ in faith, we obeyed the call of God to leave our place of darkness, of unbelief, and come into his marvelous light. That's what 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when you trusted Christ, when you believed that he died for you and rose from the dead, you turned from false gods, whatever they were, false idols, and you left them behind. You obeyed the call of God to have faith in his Son as your Lord and Savior. As Abraham obeyed the call of God, we have obeyed the call of Jesus Christ to obey the gospel to eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And notice when Abraham obeyed the call of God, when he left his home, he had no idea where he was going. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Is anyone here able to say, I've always known where God's going to lead me, where God's going to take me? I know I can't say this. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ at the age of 40, I had no idea where God was going to lead me. If someone had told me in 1993 that I would go on short-term missions with Jill and Annie, that I would go to Bible college in my 50s, and that I'd be standing here preaching today, if somebody told me that in 1993, I would have just laughed in disbelief. But that's where God has taken me. That's where he has led me. I had no idea where I was going. You see, the truth is, we don't know the future as believers. We don't know the direction that God is going to lead us. We might make plans what we're going to do. We might have a five-year plan. But it's God who leads us, and it's God who directs us. As Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. When Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again by the Holy Spirit before he can see the kingdom of God, and Jesus said, it's the Holy Spirit that directs a believer's life. He directs your life as a believer. And he guides us, and he takes us in directions which we cannot tell beforehand. We cannot tell, just as we cannot tell where the wind will blow. And that's what Jesus said in John 3:8 when he spoke to Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That's where listeth means chooses. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. When I snowblow our driveway and it's windy, I figure the direction of the wind so I don't get snow blowing in my face. But you know, the wind constantly changes as I go down the driveway. I don't know where it's coming from. That's your life. That's my life. The Holy Spirit is going to take you where God wants you to go. Abraham obeyed the call of God, and as it says in Hebrews 11:8, he went into a place which he should receive for an inheritance. That's my second point. Abraham's manner of living. You see, we're to pattern our lives after Abraham's manner of living. Abraham went to Canaan as he was led by the Lord. And this land is the land of promise, as it says in verse 9. But there are two things about the way Abraham lived in the land of promise that he was going to receive as an inheritance. First of all, Abraham lived there as a stranger. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Even though the land was promised to Abraham as his inheritance, he lived there as if it was a strange country, as if he was a stranger there. He lived in tents, no foundations, moving around from place to place. When you read Genesis, you'll read he moved around. He never settled down. He didn't build a city or move into a city and stay in a house. We as believers have been promised to receive an inheritance just as Abraham was. And we're told this in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is where we are. We are on the earth that we shall inherit. One day in the future, when Jesus returns to earth after the day of the Lord, he will bring every believer with him. And he will rule the earth for 1,000 years. And this is when Abraham will receive his inheritance on earth. And this is when we believers will inherit the earth, just as Jesus has promised in Matthew 5:5. But until this time, we're to pattern our lives the same way as Abraham. We're to live on earth as strangers, as if it's a strange land to us. When Peter wrote his first letter, he addresses believers as strangers. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And that later on in 1 Peter, he urges us as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. If you had a wealthy uncle and he was never married and he had a gorgeous mansion and he said, I'm leaving this mansion to you when I die. But if you come and visit him and you live with him for a couple of weeks or something, you're just a guest, right? You haven't inherited the home. It's not yours yet. You're like a pilgrim. Means you had a temporary residence there. You see, right now we're part of God's household, but we're living as pilgrims on earth. We're like Abraham in a sense, who lived in Canaan without any permanent place to live. We're to leave our old worldly sinful friendships that we once had as unbelievers, and we're to live as strangers in the world. And while we live as pilgrims on earth, we're to live with others the way Abraham did, as it says in the second part of verse 9. As he lived in the promised land, as a stranger, Abraham kept company with fellow believers. As it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham lived, he would have lived in tents with Isaac for 75 years. And he would have lived about 15 years with young Jacob. He would have witnessed the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah and been around when Jacob was born. Abraham enjoyed the company of these fellow heirs of the land of promise. It's so wonderful when a family, when an entire family has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, because they're fellow heirs of the promises of God. But you see, it's not just family members we're to enjoy company with. It's with other believers, because we've all been saved by God through faith in Christ. And we're all sons of God and daughters of God and part of his household. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It's important that we spend time with each other, with fellow believers, in worship and in fellowship. For this keeps us from the world, from being drawn into the sins of the flesh that the world continually puts in front of us. When you think of Lot, he lived a very different life than Abraham, didn't he? He came with Abraham to the promised land. But when it came time that they had to split because their herds were too big, Lot chose Sodom. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot dwells right in the sinful city, separated from the heirs of promise. And while living in Sodom, his soul was troubled. His soul was grieved by all the filthy behavior that was going on around him. And I'm sure Lot would have been upset knowing his son-in-laws were part of that. And when he came to try and get them to flee, they just thought he was joking. But thankfully, Lot was delivered from the wrath of God, and he escaped with just two of his daughters. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's 2 Peter 2:7 and 8. You see, it's so much better if we do not allow ourselves to be drawn into the lifestyle of unbelievers. It's so much better to keep company with believers who are fellow heirs of the promises of God. We must live among unbelievers, right? If you're working, you're working among unbelievers. If you're at school, you're at a secular school, you're at school with unbelievers. But we're not to keep company with them in the sense our way of life must not conform to their way of life. Our way of life must be geared to pleasing our Heavenly Father. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We must strive to be holy as God is holy. And let's face it, that can be a battle at times, right? We must pattern our manner of living to be the same as Abraham's. We must remain strangers and pilgrims on earth with no desire to become part of the unbelieving world's way of life. We must stay close to fellow believers in worship of the Lord and prayers to Him and also fellowship. But there's one more way we're to pattern our life after Abraham. As verse 10 says, we must consider the home that Abraham looked for. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham lived in tents, and from time to time he'd pull up stakes. His tabernacles, his tents had no foundations, right? He just put up some poles and stakes. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have camped in the past, or you camp now. He had no permanence on earth, but he looked for a city that was going to come in the future. A city with everlasting foundations. A city whose builder is God. That's what our hope as believers should be. We should be looking to the future when one day we will have a home in the city that is built by God. The foundations have already been started, have they not? Jesus Christ, He is our one and only foundation that our faith is built upon. For other foundation can no man lay that is than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 3:11. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. All our Christian faith that all apostles and prophets and the household of God are built on Jesus Christ. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know, there are many impressive buildings that have been constructed in cities around the world. They have massive foundations to hold up these huge, heavy structures that weigh thousands and thousands of tons. If you consider one city like Toronto, it's got thousands of buildings and hundreds of thousands of men have built these buildings with foundations. But all these buildings, all these foundations, one day in the future will be burned up on the day of the Lord. But the city and the foundations built by God is an everlasting city. It's the new Jerusalem that will one day come down from heaven on a new earth. And it will contain many mansions in God's house for us believers to dwell in. That's what Jesus promises us in John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We are to look for that city of the future. Our hope isn't in our homes today. They're getting older. They're deteriorating every year. No one's home will last. Today, if a home is 40 or 50 years old, it's often out of date. It's tired looking. It needs to be spruced up. Jill and I bought a small two-bedroom home in 1981. It was only 36 years old, and it had been built in 1945. It had no insulation in the walls. The plumbing was terrible, hardly any wiring. Everything needed to be updated. And just a few years after we sold it, somebody tore it down and put up a new house. I've seen demolition videos of high-rise buildings, like 30, 40, 50-story buildings that are less than 50 years old, and they demolish them because they're old. They've served their purpose. But the city we're to look for isn't the one that will age and look tired and out of date after 10, 20, 100,000 years. It's an everlasting city whose builder is God. He's the designer. He's the constructor. He's the creator of all the materials that will be used to make up the beautiful eternal city. This magnificent city will be a place of fellowship where we will be able to meet one another, talk with one another. It will be a place where Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be. It'll be a place of security, happiness, everlasting joy, safety. It'll be a place of beauty with streets paved with gold, the tree of life on either side of the crystal clear river of water of life that comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So as we close this morning, you must seriously consider, have you patterned your life after Abraham? First of all, and most importantly, have you obeyed the call of God to turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior? Have you come out from the life you once lived as an unbeliever? As it says in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Secondly, are you living as a stranger on earth today? We belong to God. He's bought us for a price. That price was Jesus Christ on the cross. And we are called to glorify God as believers. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6:20. And we glorify God by living to please him and not ourselves. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. We're strangers and pilgrims in this world. and we belong to the household of God. Here on earth, we're ambassadors to Christ with a desire to win lost souls to faith in him. But we must remain separated from all the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh that the world offers, because they're not of the Father, they're of the world, right? We're told that in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And finally, have you patterned your life after Abraham by looking for that eternal city, that glorious new Jerusalem that will one day be the home of all those who are washed from their sins by the shed blood of Jesus Christ? You know, you consider the future city, it's far away. And a lot of you here are pretty young. So like it's not really in your mindset. And I get that, right? If I was 12 years old, the last thing I was thinking about is the kingdom of God and the new Jerusalem. But you should always have that in your mind. Because our lives on earth are very short. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe one day it's just bing. You've left this earth. But you always have that hope in the back of your mind. James 4:14 reminds us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's so important that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, even if 1,000 years must go by before the New Jerusalem is built, you must be sure that you have a mansion ready for you. For without faith in Christ, the other alternative is not good. You're not going to have a mansion in heaven. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire paying for your sin that you committed before a holy and righteous God. You must be sure. You must believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you. He died for your sin. You must not hesitate to declare with your mouth that Jesus, yes, he's my Savior. I believe in him and I trust him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for just the lessons we've been able to learn about Abraham's life. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, you would lead us, and that each one of us would have our minds focused on you daily. And also pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't yet trusted Christ as their Savior, they haven't placed their faith in him, that they do so. It's so important, Lord, for their soul that they might have the promise of eternal life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.